welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here the host for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Yeah, Don, right here in good old Lufkin, comma, Texas, huh?
How are you?
Fine.
Don Patterson's along with us today again.
Again, it's Don enjoying this colder weather. Patterson and his girlfriend won't let me build a fire in the fireplace.
My name's Tom Houston, but here is the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Phil Parr.
I had a girlfriend one time who wouldn't let me build a fire. I can't unplug the phone because my granddaughter's in the house.
Oh.
I can unplug these. She can still... why don't I do that? I'll just get over there and do that. Anyway, hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. That's going to drive us nuts, isn't it, huh? She's on the other line and talking to her girlfriend. Oh. And so it's going to be...
Can we turn off the ringer in here?
I can unplug the phones, and I will. If you'll... anyway, we'll do that in just a second. I was just thinking, you know, they call us like... Yeah, see?
Being paged. Papa?
Papa?
There come.
Yeah, she doesn't understand. You can't explain to her, you know, what she's going to call us again. Can you turn the intercom down, Houston?
I believe I can. Let's
just
see.
Just reach back there.
Intercom,
turn the body
intercom.
They call us, call me. I can't see. They call me totally blind, so I'm going to start referring to sighted people as totally sighted. My wife is totally sighted. You know, what the heck?
That may not be correct.
I would be somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Well, if you're legally blind, you're legally blind. But if you're not legally blind, you're totally sighted.
Oh, is that right?
Now she's
or
at the
somewhere
door.
In the middle. Yeah.
Kimberly, open the door.
Come right on in.
Come right in. We're doing a radio show. Did you know that?
Yeah, we have phone calls.
Well, I can't answer the phone right now, baby, because I'm on the radio, okay?
Can I take a message?
Thank you. Thank you. Tell them
I'll Kimberly.
Get a number. Tell them I'll call them back.
She's 15 going on 30, but she just doesn't understand she doesn't understand what it's like to be a big star like we are and things of that nature.
Well, yeah, you know,
show
it just can't see it.
It's a wonderful kid. See, she's totally sighted. Anyway, this is show 20.
Yes,
right? Show number 20.
Number 20.
You know, one thing we could do. We could toss our idea about the changes we want to make in the show out. I guess we'll talk about this later. See if somebody else came up with a great name.
You know, we could do that. Name the show.
We really could. Name the show. We'll think about that and maybe do that next week. Anyway, show 20, we're going to talk about fencing. Not fencing as in sword fighting. The blind sword. Can you imagine two blind guys sword fighting?
That'd be exciting.
That would work.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd really get to
it. I wouldn't want to be in the audience.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere around sword fighting. Anyway, fencing, putting up fences, building a fence. Everybody from time to time lives where there is a fence or has to repair a fence, fix a chain-length fence, or fix a, like our boy Shaw here, rebuilt from, started last fall,
from
I guess a year
scratcho.
Ago.
Yeah, fall a year ago.
He had a Ford fence that had been there, a privacy fence that had been there 25 years or so. And so you started from post one and put new posts and new cross pieces and
one section at a time and ripped it out of there and drug it out to the street and then started the whole bit, new posts, two bys for the cross rails, and then the 1x6 pine pickets.
So we're going to get into that,
and it looks good.
So. It does. It looks, you put the privacy, I mean, you put the pretty side in, right?
No, actually, we put the good side out.
You did.
That's the way we've heard they build them most of the time. So.
We debated that long and hard when we built this fence here. You notice our pretty side is in.
But that could be like the fan discussion. You know, that could
yeah,
be.
Which way is the, God almighty.
Clockwise. Or
we should have got into that one
yeah.
over here, you know. Anyway, yeah. We'll talk about that, and Patterson knows a little bit about chain length fences.
We'll try to get into a little bit of that
a little bit later on.
You know, why don't we find the tape in the archives of the ceiling fan clockwise counterclockwise discussion?
Because I'd have to sit there and hit the tone.
I'd have to hit
the tone to bleep out the expletive.
Don't tell me we actually recorded that.
We did. We actually have a tape of it somewhere.
player. Oh, my goodness.
Goodness. Yeah, well, that might be better left to the archives. There was unpublished archives.
There was a microphone on the back porch at that time. Remember, we were still doing the radio show, and we had a microphone on the back deck. That you could tune in and listen to what was going on out there. So I don't know why I did it. I just went in and recorded, and it's just the longest, stupidest. I mean, just what we're trying to figure out is which way the ceiling fan was turning, clockwise or counterclockwise. And you know, it's like Don Patterson and I do all the time. If he took one side, I took the other, whether I believed it or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so how you look at it.
It was just a long, and we won't get into that. Let's. We have email? Any?
We have a couple of emails here. Uh-huh. Here's one that reads like this. It says, "Hi, guys. I heard you talking about expensive long-distance rates on your last show. I use a service called Big Zoo. You can check it out.
Big Zoo. Big Zoo. What a name.
I thought that's where I was.
You can check it out at BigZoo.com, it says. It's a prepaid service. It
really?
It has domestic rates within the continental United States of either 2.9 or 3.9 cents per minute. That's depending on whether there's a local access number, of course, in your area.
But, you know, in our area, there isn't, naturally.
Probably not. Uh-huh. They also have very reasonable international rates. Now, the rate to New Zealand, for example, is about 6 cents per minute.
They
have a chart of rates on the website. And I just thought this might be helpful. Love your show. All the best. This is from Mark McCaughey, I believe is the way you say it.
Worth looking at, you know, because I've got 6 or 7 cents a minute here, but boy, that call to Jonathan one time broke me.
That overseas rate, man, overseas. Fantastic.
If he wants to get a hold of me, he can call me. That's just it. I'm not calling him anymore. Who needs him?
And what high rates.
Hell, it was 60-something bucks, wasn't it, I think? My wife came down the stairs and said, "Here's a 60, you know." Yeah, yes,
like,
dear.
Who do you know in Australia?
Yes, dear. You've got a girlfriend in Australia,
especially
you
when you told her it was a wrong number, right?
You know, yeah, you've got a girlfriend in Australia. No, that's not true.
Man.
Anyway, what else have we?
Here's one. The subject is unclogging main lines. It says, "Howl, thank you for the advice. I ran the snake down the vent, and it was the right one. Also found my outlet near our kitchen sink. The whole house was not clogged, but the kitchen sink and the outlet that drains from our washer had the problem.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I ran the snake, and when I got the immediate problem taken care of, I found a lot of dirt and stuff on the snake. Now, something told me to contact a plumber, and they actually sent a camera on the end of a snake and found part of the line had started to collapse. Needless to say, we're starting to refinance the house to get this 34-year-old PVC plumbing replaced. Thank you much for the tip. I sure appreciate it. We probably have a month or so before we have the same problem. So hopefully we can get the refinancing done to take care of the plumbing. Thanks again. This is from Walt Cohn.
You know, address part of that, Walt. When I lived in Tomball for a while, my mother had a house there, and I was living with her. And periodically, those houses, many of the houses and the sewer lines were built back in the 30s, in the, say, late 40s after the war. And they used a kind of not an asbestos pipe, but it's not cast iron, and it's put together in layers.
I've seen it.
And so periodically the city would go and do what they called a smoke test. And everywhere they saw smoke coming up out of thing, you had probably a defective sewer, and it just so happened that my mother's, and we had to replace, many of the lines were collapsing, and it was back then even probably it was very expensive. And they had to really go from almost to her house where it went up, come up out of the ground, back out to the main lines. And
really?
So we sympathize with you, and refinancing is
deal.
That's Ditec.
You see them e-loans on the computer. Yeah. Go to e-loans.
You watch CNN, all you see is Ditec commercials. You know, you must be doing something. You know, the Sunset House up here. I won't tell you who did this, but when I tell you what happened, you'll know who did it. The bathtub wasn't draining right. So this person had her boyfriend crawl under the house and cut the pipe, the bathtub pipe. So it just drained under the house.
No
well,
kidding.
Of course, when I finally got her out of there, I called a plumber and got him to fix it. And he said he went under there and fixed it. But he said back years ago, they used smaller pipes as coming out of bathtubs. Mm-hmm. That the drain wasn't as big as it is now. And that bathtub would drain fine, but it would never drain very fast.
Right.
So, okay. You know, that if you're in an older house, that may be something to think about. If it's but anyway, this Walt Cohn, he was sharp enough to know when he needed a plumber. I mean, when he needed something, call somebody, and that's the deal.
And sometimes you just
My house is 30 years old, and, you know, when I had the collapsed washing machine line and I had to put the new line, that old line was an inch and a quarter, which is just, inch and a half, which is just unheard of. I mean, it's adequate, I guess, if everything's working right. But so I went to 2-inch pipe, and man, it's just all the difference in the world.
So if you're in an old house, that may be part of your problem. What else we got?
Okay, Michael Reed emails us on the subject of making a straight cut with a handsaw. Says, gentlemen, on one of your recent shows, you were discussing how a caller could make cuts using power saws, and asked if any of your listeners knew of a way to make straight cuts using a handsaw to pass that information along. I have a method which has worked for me over the years. After first determining and marking the spot where you will be making your cut, place your square along the wood and then take a piece of something like a 1-inch by 1-inch and place it alongside the edge of the square so that the side of the piece of wood now matches the line where you want to make your cut. Now clamp the square along with the wood guide in place. If you begin your cut with the saw, place slight pressure towards the guide, and if you cut carefully, can make the cut fairly accurately. I always make certain my handsaws are sharp, allow a little extra when measuring the cut to allow for sanding. Again, this method works for me. Perhaps it will not work for everyone, but then again, that is why there is more than one way to skin a cat.
My cats hated it when I said that.
They do, don't they?
They don't like it much, do they?
They really do.
He says, I enjoy listening to your show and have found that many of your suggestions have been useful. Keep up the good work and happy holidays to one and all. This comes from Michael D. Reed out in Dundon, Florida. Is the way you say it.
Okay, Michael.
Anyway, we have him as a guest on the show, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I talked to him last night. He had something he had needed to do today, so we taped a little quick interview last night and visited with him. He's quite a fella, and we'll let him talk about what he does and the sort of woodworking things that he does. Obviously not a cat lover.
Interesting. That is an interesting email and an interesting way to do it, and it really works. And you know, we've discussed this before, and some of the listeners are well aware that I am partially sighted, but I use a guide like that with a handsaw, and sometimes you can even get by using a 2x4. If you'll clamp it, take a C-clamp and clamp it on your line, because in my case, I like the way he's doing finding his line. In my case, I can see my line, and I just clamp a 2x4, which you're not likely to, you can cut along beside it and not likely to cut into it, and it's a perfect guide. And like he says, it'll give you, you'll be within 1%.
I've got a piece of angle iron. I don't even know where I got it, but I've got a piece of angle iron that's about 5 feet long, and it's perfect because it has its stand up big side that you can lay it down and put the big stand up to one of the sides toward the saw, and you're gonna come out fine if you use that.
Mm-hmm. That'd make a good
That just goes to show that little ingenuity, and a guy can be creative and get the job done.
And if you go to if you go to Lowe's or like our hardware store, this guy, Paul Abney, has a Paul Abney, that's Abney and Sons Hardware.
Abney and
that's,
Sons.
At Gaslight Plaza in Lufkin, Texas. You folks, wonder if you'll give me a free piece of candy when I go back in there.
Yeah.
He just has a barrel full of angle iron of different lengths and different types of angle. I mean, I've also got a piece of kind of, it's like aluminum angle iron, you know?
Yeah.
We call it angle iron. This isn't iron. It's angle aluminum, but you'd call it angle iron. It has a good straight edge. I've got
and it'd be perfect for clamping to something, wouldn't
it? Sure it would, because it's not nearly as heavy as a big
piece
of angle iron.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
So, as long as it's straight. And a 2x4, if you want to know if it's straight, lay it down on the garage floor and feel if it bows up in the middle, but it ain't.
Well, and and that is the same principle that even sighted people had used forever, especially cutting sheetrock. You know, they make a big 8-foot-long sheetrock square.
Yeah.
And you hook it on the edge of the sheetrock, and then that metal is what you put your knife up against.
Yep.
And you just slice that sheetrock, and it'll give you a straight line every time.
Absolutely. So, a little ingenuity. You can figure out how to do things the blind way. May not be the right way, but it's the blind way.
The blind way.
All right, where are we? Should we take a break and do our guest and then come back and talk about... Don has a story that he's going to talk about how you can put... what is this stuff you put on the grout?
I'm in the process of staining some grout. We'll get into that in a minute. I'll tell you why I'm doing it and when we come back.
I thought he'd move back to Conroe. But,
wrong Don.
Wrong Don. I'm sorry. Anyway, we can talk about building a fence, and we'll talk about grouting and all kinds of things, and we'll have our guest on in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute.
You can talk about ACB Radio programming with friends and other listeners, then you might want to join our ACB Radio Friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB Radio announce list, and you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio. Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's announce-subscribe@acbradio.org. Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to the Blind Handyman Show, second portion. I'm Phil Parr, and we're visiting today with a fellow named Michael Reed. How are you, sir?
I'm doing real good, Phil.
Is that right? Now, you're in what town in Florida again?
Dunedin, Florida. It's on the west coast, right above Clearwater.
Dunedin, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Jaws did not pronounce that quite correctly.
No, it usually comes out Dunedin.
That's what it said. That's what it said.
Yep.
So you're a Jaws user also?
No, I use Window Eyes, but it mispronounces it, too.
It can mispronounce words just as well as Jaws, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, what is your age?
I'm 55.
55. Well, you're about in our age range. I'm 62, and I think Tom is the youngest at 57.
Uh-huh.
Don Shaw's just turned 50, come to think of it. So
he's a kid.
He's just a child, isn't he, huh?
Yeah, right.
And you've been without sight how long?
I lost my eyesight at 20 in Vietnam.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Man, what a tough thing to have to do, you know?
Well, I'm here today, and that's the main thing.
That's the main thing, and, you know, the old adage, don't worry about things you can't do anything about, and that's something you couldn't do anything about. Well,
that's right.
You seem to have adapted, or do you work or not?
I'm retired.
Well, aren't we all?
Federal government for 27 years.
Yeah, this was after Vietnam. You worked for the federal government?
Right.
What did you do? Doing what, sir?
I worked at the Department of Army. I was an EEO specialist. Dealt with discrimination cases, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you did that for 20-something years?
27 years.
Well, do you have a degree? Did you get a
After I was discharged from the Marine Corps, I went on to college. I got a degree in psychology.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So not only can you tell us why we do this show, but you can tell us a lot of other things, right?
Not too sure about that.
That's right. I was in the radio, used to say, let's see, how did it go? Not only can you tell us why people listen, but you can tell people why I do the show, you know? So I don't know. Anyway, you live in Florida, and you have done, according to your email, a little woodwork of some sort.
Little woodwork, a little electrical, a little concrete work, a little of this, a little of that.
So you're kind of one of us when it comes to those kind of things. Something breaks out at your house, you go fix it, right?
Yeah, I make an attempt when and where I can, and if it's safe for me to do it. And
yeah. So do you have a shop, a wood shop?
Well, I just have a little area set up in my garage. Have all my tools in a big Craftsman wheeled cabinet.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And to me, that's one of the most important things, is to have your tools in a place where you always know where they are.
Yeah, for especially for somebody that can't see, like us, that my brother-in-law, and bless his heart, I love him to death, I've told this story 1,000 times, would come in my shop, and if he doesn't put it back where I'm used to finding it, then it, you know, I can spend a lot of time locating, trying to find it.
Well, I've got one with a lock, and I lock it up, so.
You don't let anybody else get into your toolbox?
No. Those are mine.
Well, of course, I don't worry about John. John and I are good. My brother-in-law and I are good friends, and actually he owns some of the tools in my shop, so I can't lock. If he doesn't have his keys, I don't let him in, though.
Right.
And do you, have you built some things out of wood, cabinets or things?
I've done some stuff. Although I can do woodworking, it's not something that I enjoy doing that much. So it's more or less out of necessity type.
Oh, really?
Things. It's just,
So
take or leave it kind of a thing.
Woodwork is not your forte. It's not what you enjoy doing.
I'm kind of like a general, gee, can I fix that kind of thing? That intrigues me more than putting the cabinet together. I'm not vain in the respect of, I made that TV cabinet, you know, because I can probably go buy one that is in a kit that will look better than the one I went to all that trouble to build. Now, if I, the other way around, I could build it if I had to or wanted to say that, but I don't feel the need for that.
I always tell the story about my big box that we keep our pool floats and things in. I saw one for $165 at Walmart, and of course my wife said, well, you got a wood shop, why don't you just build one? Well, $230 and lots of labor later, I built one.
Right.
It cost a lot more. Of course, it's probably a better box because it's built out of 3/4-inch tongue and groove cedar, so it's it may be a better box. Do you do plumbing things, I suppose?
Yeah, I've done some plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a couple of sinks, and I've done some electrical, everything from wall sockets to some basic wiring to putting up ceiling fans to running wires outside, stuff like that. I don't like to mess too much with the old box where it comes into the and attaches to the house. That's not my forte at all.
So you always turn that. That's the best idea, is of course.
To me, that's one of the most critical things is for anybody sighted or blind is to know exactly what it is that they're getting into, what are safety issues, how can a blind person, you know, get around, if it's electrical, fine, turn the power off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know.
Yeah, safety always first.
Right.
We talk.
When you look at a project, it's, what are the materials I need? Do I have the tools that I need to do it? Do I have the proper tools? That's one of the things I've noticed. A lot of people, they'll grab the wrong tool for the job, and they can wind up getting hurt or screwing it up or breaking the tool or whatever. So, you know, if it needs a number two Phillips head screwdriver, then use a number two Phillips head screwdriver.
Yeah, because if you don't, you're going to mess the head on that screw up, and yeah. and then nothing will fit it. You'll end up cutting it off or
you need to, one of the most important things, I think, is to buy the best tool that you can. You know, there's all kinds of grades of tools out there, like anything else, and to me, it's the best you can buy is, you know, in the long run, you're better off. You know, if it's something that needs an edge, it keeps the edge. If it needs a point, it'll keep the point. You know, the tips of the screwdrivers won't break off. Things like that. And I kind of like, I buy most of my stuff at Sears just because of the fact that Craftsman has a lifetime warranty on everything.
Well, we're fixing to find out if that's good, because I got a drill. I'm fixing to take them back and see if they'll...
I just took one back. It was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And no questions asked.
They simply gave you another drill?
They gave me another drill, equal or, you know, equal value. Of course, they didn't have the model that I had bought 3 years ago, but there was one, you know, similar within a few dollars, so
yeah.
No problem.
And you got a brand new one?
Brand new one.
Well,
no questions.
I'm going to give them your number if they challenge me. I'm telling them, Michael got one.
Yeah.
This one I've got, they do make the battery for it, but the battery's about $60.
Uh-huh.
And the drill was $150 to begin with. I can't see buying a $60 battery for an old worn out $150 drill.
No.
So I may just have to challenge them and make sure that, see if that's a good thing. I've got some Sears tools, but I've got a DeWalt drill that is far superior to as far as I'm concerned, to the Craftsman.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of really good, what I call really good tools.
Yeah.
But for most of the stuff, as far as saws or screwdrivers, wrenches, stuff like that, and a lot of times I won't buy it at the Sears store, though, is I like to watch QVC when they have the specials on tools.
Oh, yeah?
Because they have a lot of sets that you can't necessarily buy at your local Sears for a pretty good price. And, you know, according to what you need, sometimes they throw in little goodies that if you were to buy them separately, you know. So...
I've never had thought of that. I get QVC, but I had never thought about...
They have ones, you know, designed for, like, woodworking kinds of kits, and then they have ones for, let's say, basic wrench sets,
yeah.
Real sophisticated ones, and things like that. But I found that a few years ago that was a good source to... And if it wasn't necessarily that I would buy theirs, it would give me ideas.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm one of these nutty people. My wife, I drive her crazy sometimes, but that's all right. I like to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and just walk through the tool department or the glue department or whatever, and just see what are the new adhesives out there. What don't I know about? What kind of new tools are they, you know? Can I use them? Things like that.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but blind people are a lot alike. I like to do this. The biggest problem with being blind is you don't know what's available.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have a little sighted assistance and you can say, what is this? And they can say, this is a this.
Yeah.
Then you know, oh, well, you know.
Well, I found pretty, at least our local Home Depot, a lot of the guys are really knowledgeable. And especially if you go in kind of like an off time of day.
Yeah.
When they're not busy. I've gone in a couple of times on my own, said the heck with it. She's busy or something. And
yeah.
And I just said, look, you know, I'm obviously blind. I have an idea I want to do this, that, or the other. What kind of tools do you have that would help me out, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what's new or whatever. And usually they kind of get a charge out of it. You know, like, oh, great, wow, oh.
Well, I imagine so, because they, you know, how often do they get to wait on a blind person, actually, you
yeah.
know?
And then, of course, I found that if there's a tool that I need for a one-time project, I won't buy the tool. I'll just go rent it.
Well, I consider projects reasons to buy tools. I take them as a... As
yeah, well, I do that, but it's you know, sometimes the wife says, you really don't need another one of those.
I can't imagine a wife saying that, but no. Is your wife, does she have vision?
Yes, she does.
So she's totally sighted.
Yeah.
That's my new phrase, because they always talk about people being totally blind. Well, she's totally sighted. Totally sighted, and she goes with you and indulges you in your little folly of going to Lowe's.
Yeah, well, she knows it's, in some cases, it's saving us money.
Yeah.
It's keeping me busy and out of trouble.
Yeah, and out of her hair.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there's certain things that I like, wow, I just put that ceiling fan up. You know, that's cool. Because I can buy the ceiling fan and put it up and maybe be a little frustrated and say a few bad words under my breath or sometimes out loud. But it's a lot cheaper than having the electrician come in.
Yeah.
So.
Because usually the electrician coming in costs more than the ceiling fan.
Yeah, you know, they charge you $75, at least around here, about $75 just to walk in the door before they did anything.
And then there's a little, I know, you know, we try to keep our egos in check at our age, but there is a little sense of pride of, I did that, and you know, so just kind of a little good feeling. And then, like you were talking about these people helping you, they're thinking about blind people is that you can't do much if you're blind, and it probably knocks them out that this guy actually knows what a pipe wrench is and you know, and knows kind of what he wants.
I get a kick out of people when they, well, how you can't do that, and I'm like, don't ever say that word.
don't tell me that.
Just put the challenge up.
Yeah, but you're
now,
not.
There are things that I won't do just because of safety reasons, you know.
You're not much on power tools, I gather. You don't.
Yeah, I have some. I have drills. I have a couple saws. But again, unless the project is okay, like I helped a next door neighbor build a deck.
Uh huh.
Now, to be cutting 2x10s by hand, after the third cut, your arm falls off.
Yeah.
Okay, bring out the power tools.
Really?
If I'm just cutting, you know, a random board here or there, I'll just grab the old handsaw and do it that way.
But you've got a skill saw.
Yeah, yeah.
And yours is like the rest of them. They're so noisy that they bother me using them because they're just so noisy.
Yeah.
So I bought a chop saw, you know, to offset that. But you say you helped this guy build a deck. Now, was a deck up off the ground or on the ground or
yeah,
what?
It was up about 6 feet, I guess. So we had a... You know, put the six. Well, we use 6x6s
on the corners.
42 inches in the ground, and
yeah, you put those in the ground. Put a little concrete around them, or what?
Yeah, put some concrete in around them.
Yeah,
I have that inspected, of course.
And yeah,
went from there. But
and,
he's the kind of a person. I want to build a deck, and he, you know, if you don't say, "Whoa, wait a minute," what do you want to build it out of? You know, how much do you need? Like, oh, well, I was just going to go buy some. Well, you know, how many board feet do you want? You
but
know?
You're the opposite. You figure the whole thing in your head.
Before I start anything, I know how many of each thing I have to have, how many screws I'm going to use, do I have the tools on hand to do it, and when I go, like if I'm going to go in another room or outside or something, I have a carpenter's belt. I'll take the tools that I'm going to need for the job, put them in the belt, and carry them with me. I'm not going to be running back and forth 50 times. If it's a project that I can do in the garage, that's different. But no, I like to be prepared. I don't like to all of a sudden get there and say, I don't have enough wood screws, you know, and be left with something hanging or something. You know?
So basically you're as anal retentive as Don Shaw and I,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's good to know. I love it. You know, my wife makes fun of me all the time for just, you know, being, she hunts her keys and I can usually just go right because I heard her put them down last night. I know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I was saying, my neighbor, he's the kind of a guy, well, to him, if you're going to drive a nail, then you need a hammer. Well, how big is the nail and how big is your hammer, you know?
Yeah.
And he's out there maybe putting in the finishing nails in something, and he's got a baby handheld sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I'm like, now what are you doing, you know?
So he appreciated your maybe not expertise, but your ability to coordinate and figure out how many, you know, what he needed.
I'm real fussy, and I also told him little things like, when you're measuring something, you know, the old adage is measure twice.
Yeah.
I measure things three times because I don't trust myself at all.
Yeah.
And I also told him, when you make your little line, make your cut a little wider than the line.
Allow that for the thickness of the blade.
Yeah, and also you got to allow, if it's going to be a finished end, you got to sand it down.
Yeah.
And, oh, I never thought about that. I said, well, you cut it off and then you sand it, and all of a sudden you're too short.
Isn't it nice that we help out our sighted brethren?
Yeah, I love
our sighted folks. Well, we are about out of time. I wanted to get into you said you'd done some work on automobiles also. I want to get into that. So maybe a month or two, a week or two, 2 or 3 months, we'll call you back and talk about working on cars. How would that be?
Sure, fine. Anytime you want to call me.
Just one more thing. You don't sound like a guy from Florida.
Nope. Originally from New Jersey.
I thought I was going to say
a different kettle of fish up there.
I was going to say New York. But it's not the same thing. But then again, it is, right?
Yeah, it is, and it isn't. It is as far as problems go, and a whole difference in owning a home or working on things up there than it is here. You know, the codes are different. Like most of the homes down here are stucco on the outside. Up there, a good percentage of them are. You know, nowadays covered in aluminum siding and stuff.
And besides that, it's cold up there.
Yeah, it's cold, and that's why I'm down here now.
That's why you're down here. Michael Reed, you've been an interesting guest, and you seem like you have your life together, and we want to wish you best of luck and a good, when this show plays, Thanksgiving will be gone, so we'll just say happy holidays. How about that?
Okay, same to you guys.
Listen, I'll tell you that. This show will run, we're a week behind.
Okay.
So you won't hear this next Monday, you'll hear it the following Monday.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, Michael, we appreciate you.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
More of the Brian Handyman Show in just a minute.
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
They're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
To the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Yeah, okay, Jan, I think that is. I love to hear her say my name. But don't tell Emily.
Won't let you build a fire, huh?
Yeah, well, she says if I'm trying to sell the house, you know.
I bet Jan will let you. Build a fire.
Well, Jan builds a fire. I see people with houses for sale all the time that have fireplaces that they use, but Emily doesn't seem to understand.
When we bought the
that.
Norris Street house, we bought it from some friends of ours, and we were going to show it, and the real estate lady recommended that you have it homey, have a little fire burning.
Yeah, I think. You know. Well, I told her if it gets cold enough, I'm going to overrule her.
No, I've met her. You better not do that.
You better not do that.
No.
Okay, well, back to my topic. I'm going to talk about doing a little grout staining. And, of course, the reason for that is obviously when I was laying my brand new, shiny new white tile floor with its brand new white grout, I made a mistake. Everybody that I know told me, said, why are you going to put white grout? I said, because I want it to be bright and light and white. I think that might be a something that's peculiar to partially sighted people. If you have dark areas, I like a lot of light, and so I wanted to solve the problem. Well, the problem is the tile is beautiful, and it's easy to clean. It's got a real high gloss finish, and it cleans easy. But the grout, you spill one drop of coffee, one drop of anything, the grout is difficult to clean and keep clean. And yeah. I know they make sealers, because I've even sealed it, but it still does not keep out all of the stain. And so what I have now is beautiful white tile with ugly kind of yellowish brown tinted stained grout that's supposed to be white, and it just looks dirty. Even though you mop it and it's clean, it looks dirty. And so what I should have done in the first place was use dark gray grout. But since I didn't, in lieu of that, as opposed to tearing out the entire floor and starting over, other people have, and that's something we'll touch on, but other people have had the same problem, and they make a grout stain. And it comes in many colors, and it comes in the colors, obviously, of grout that you could have used to start with. And so I've chose a dark gray stain to go over my white grout with, and then that will be the same as me
using white grout.
Using dark gray grout.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, and I've learned this along doing my little handyman projects, especially working on my house, and maybe you people are getting sick of hearing about my house as I am sick about messing with it. is every time you run into a problem, don't panic, because chances are somebody else has had that same problem.
That's
I wasn't
the truth.
Even sure they made grout stain. I was going, God, can you paint it? Could you blindfold prospective home buyers so they wouldn't look? But sure enough, the tile shop sells grout stain, and it's done all the time. And the neat thing about it, so it comes in about a 32-ounce bottle. I guess you'd call it a quart, and it's kind of pricey. If you say it out loud and up front real quick, it's $25 a quart. But on the other hand, if you figure, depending on the width of your grout, it's going to cover probably, the lady said it would probably do one coat of, I have about 800 square feet. Now, that's the tile, so I don't know what the linear distance is of all the little quarter-inch wide grout strips there. But just telling her that, she said that it would probably probably, if applied properly, would probably probably cover it. There is a possibility.
Maybe I can edit that out.
Gold wave.
Hit it.
What do you need to edit out?
That belch.
The belch? Oh, I thought Don Shaw did that.
Oh, no. No, no.
Anyway, well, my... and so, I purchased a quart of... dark gray grout stain, and it comes with, or you buy with it, a little applicator kit. It makes it so easy, and it's definitely blind friendly. And it's really about an 8-ounce bottle that comes with a lid, a cap that has a wheel, a roller type, comes with a gasket type thing fitting, and this lid has a hole where the stain can come out if it's in the, you know, up. Right position in the application yeah. position, and there's this little wheel that spreads it, and the little wheel fits right down in the, if you have standard width grout, and it's from 3/16 to 1/4 inch,
it fits right down in the seam,
fits
where the
right
grout
down
is.
In it. Yeah, and so you would want to do what you can say maybe take care of in about 20 minutes, because 20 to 30 minutes becomes a kind of a critical time. When you're applying the stain, it will obviously get on your tile close to the grout. Even though you're down in the groove, you're going to get some on the edges of your tile. But you can't come right behind after you've applied the stain. You can't come right behind it with a wet sponge or cloth and wipe it off, because it hasn't set up in your grout yet, and so you'd be wiping that off too.
Yeah.
But the key is within 20, 30, maybe even 40 minutes, it will dry in the grout. And it's also dry on the tile, but not too dry to come off. It'll really just kind of peel off of your tile.
So it doesn't really stick to the tile.
It doesn't really stick to the tile unless you'd let it sit overnight.
Yeah.
And so after you, so what I did, or what I'm going to do, I haven't done it yet, but what I'm going to do is take about a 10 by 10 square area. These are 1-foot square, so we're talking 100 square feet. My house, the area I'm doing total is about 800 square feet. So you take this 10 by 10 area, and you do all of the lines. And after you do a seam, we'll call it a grout seam, then with your wheel, obviously to spread it out, you have a little brush that comes in this kit. And you go up and down the seam, back and forth lengthwise of the seam, and it helps spread and even out the stain. And so then... after you've done your little 10 by 10, like I said, if you got your little countdown audible timer, set it for maybe like 30 minutes, and kind of do a little test area after that. Obviously, you'd need a little vision, somebody's vision for this, to see if it's sticking to the grout, if it's not coming off out of the grout, if it's dry, and then you can have whoever's going to help you or yourself can clean the tile, clean the grout.
Can you feel the grout on the tile if it's there? I mean, when you get it on the tile, can you tell that with your hands?
The stain?
Yeah, the stain.
No, you couldn't do the stain, but if you had your bottle, you turn this bottle upside down and with the little wheel, it held it at about a 45-degree angle, and you could sure feel the stain coming out of the bottle.
Oh, yeah, so but I'm saying, if you get some stain on the tile, can you tell that without sight?
Oh, I think you could, because it's going to probably dry quicker on the tile, and it'll probably, like, if you've ever had any experience with latex paint sticking to something that, say, like a piece of... say like a vanity cabinet where it'll just peel right off, or even if you get a piece of some latex paint on a piece of tile, it'll make a little bubble like, and you can just take your fingernail and pop it right off, and it comes right off. It doesn't stick. So I believe you could feel this stain on the tile, but you're not going to get it just except on the edges of the tile.
You really shouldn't.
No, if you
unless
stay,
you squeeze the bottle, or unless you really,
really have an accident. But there again, the big thing is not to panic, because it will clean off the tile if you're real critical on your time. And there again, not. I think they even allow within an hour, within the first hour. Yeah. Just make sure it's dry in the seam, and also for those who do not want to restain to recolor their grout, but want to seal grout. This applicator bottle works for that too, and you do it the same principle, except here, because also when you use grout sealer, although it's clear, you want to get it off of the tile, because it will kind of dull the finish if it's left on there. And so,
have you got any tile left? Any squares left?
Yeah, I bought a box to repair the tile when I changed bathtubs. I have.
Okay. Well, next time you come, bring a piece and bring your thing, and let me see if I can feel it on the.
Okay.
On the tile.
Well, so I'll put some on a piece of tile, and we'll tell. Yeah. And I'm sure you can.
That would be an interesting test. If you can, then this is a perfectly blind friendly thing. There's no reason a blind cat can't do it.
Right. And of course, and also everything has its little drawbacks. Now, if you are going to, now I'm using a real smooth, highly lacquered or enameled tile, a 1 foot square. Very shiny, very high glossy finish.
Slick.
If you had
finish.
A very porous tile, you would not. You would probably not. You'd want to maybe do a professional, get a professional, because it will go into the pores of porous tile, and you can't get it off.
Of course, good the thing about this whole topic is most blind people don't give a damn what their grout looks like.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fact.
That's a good point.
Not going to be overrun with folks wanting to stay in there.
But it would keep you a blind guy. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Don?
On defense.
I think did he leave?
I've never thought about that.
I unplugged my earphones.
Did he leave?
No, my earphones came unplugged.
I thought you'd move back to
Wrong Don.
Wrong Don. All right, let's talk about fencing, Donald Shaw. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a good time of year. If you're going to build fence, boy, this is time of year to build fence.
If you're in this hemisphere.
If you're in
before
Texas,
the hot summer.
I guarantee you.
Well, it's cool. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, wood fence, you know, just basically like we talked about, you have you could buy a fence post, but on the other hand, it's just about as easy to use landscape timbers for your fence post.
And they're not going anywhere. They're going to
be there for 25 years or so.
Quite a bit cheaper than 4x4.
Yeah, they're quite a bit cheaper. And really, you should dig a hole. They either make an auger that you could use. Don Patterson could tell you he's got one of those. Or are we just kind of, depending on what kind of dirt you have, which luckily ours is a sandy type of soil.
Yeah.
That's easy to dig in. And being in the fall of the year, it was wet, easy to dig. So I just used a set of post hole diggers. And you basically need to get a corner post set, dig your hole, go down, 2 foot or so?
Yeah.
At least 6 foot up. And your post hole diggers will dig a big enough diameter hole to where you can put your landscape timber that you're going to use for your corner post down into the hole.
Pour a little concrete in, put some water in, and bingo.
Pour in some concrete around it. Fill the hole maybe halfway full of concrete. Pour in some water. Doesn't really matter how much. Just kind of fill up the hole with water. Put in some more concrete and so on until you get to the top. And
What did you use? Probably a quarter of a sack of post? Or
yeah, one sack. Actually, we did about four. I did about four posts with one sack of concrete, so that's about right.
Yeah.
Quarter of a sack or so to a fence post.
Wouldn't you want to make sure that they're straight 90 degrees up?
Well,
have something
yeah. Good? We now Phil's level would have been good for that. But, yeah, you do want to use a level on those to make sure that they are running straight up and down. That's fairly important right there.
Yeah, I think the term is plumb. You want them plumb straight
up. Yeah, and
have a little plumb bob.
And there'd be nothing to hang a string from to make sure, would there? So you'd have to be a...
But your little talking level would work.
It would.
I really believe that anybody who's pretty... I believe you could get them pretty straight just without that. I mean, I think you could stand up beside it and probably, if your back didn't hurt like mine does, you could... Don't you think you could stand just
pretty important to have
them
fairly straight
because
of your
cross rails. Line, you probably couldn't get them straight unless you had the level would good, and you really wouldn't have to do it, but on two sides of the, you know, do it from left to right in a sense, and then or front to back, and then before you tamp it, that'd be right when you were doing your sacrete.
When it's kind of getting dry, then you'd want to balance it, make sure that post is
really
straight up and down with the ground.
This is kind of a two-person, at least. It's really good to have one person kind of to hold the post up and straight, and then, you know, someone else to shovel in the sacrete. Really, it's really good to have at least two people on this project. This is just something that, when you get your corner post down, we were talking about the string a while ago. Boy, this is something you definitely want to run a string line between, like your two corner posts, so you'll know where.
So just put a nail in top of the post, the one of them, tie a string to it, and go to the other post.
Actually, I put a drywall screw in. Rather than trying to nail on the post and maybe get them a little bit out of whack, I put a drywall screw.
Get your little short drywall screw and tie your string to that, then go to the other post and tie your string.
And stretched it tight and tied it onto the other one.
This is once they're set, once the post is set.
Yeah, once the corner posts are set. Then you'll have at least something to know exactly how far in the ground to put your line post in.
Yep.
And at least something to keep them in a line. Because the biggest thing is when you start putting in your rails, your 2x4s, you need three.
Yeah.
One near the top, one near the bottom, one in the middle. And if you don't have your poles reasonably straight, then that's when you run into a problem.
You'd get a 2x4 that wouldn't match up.
Yeah,
then you'd have to splice one. Let me ask you this. Did you do 10 feet between posts or 8?
8.
You did 8?
8.
Boy, that's usually with an 8-foot between poles 8 feet apart, don't they use? I thought they just use a top and bottom rail.
And we had talked about that. Actually, talked about that with Mary's brother, John, that we'd had as a guest on the show, and he's done quite a bit of fencing. And he said the problem is if you don't use, he said people use two, and we talked about it, but he said the problem you'll get into if you don't use the third rail in the middle is with the pickets warping.
Oh, really?
He said it's going to be the problem after a while. So he said, really, it's better to just spend the extra money and put in the third rail. So
all right, so you got corner posts set, and you've run a line between the two posts, and you've set posts 8 feet apart. I mean, once you measure something 8 feet, that's the only time you have to do that, because then you know how long 8 feet is, and you just put each post or 8 feet apart. And when you get to the end, if you've got a little 3 foot, well, you just put
you
a little 3 foot
cut
thing there.
Off.
Just a little.
Actually, what I did between posts is once, like I set the corner post, then I knew I had an exact 8 foot 2x4 using lots of them for the cross rails, and I laid the 8 foot 2x4 on the ground, touching the corner post, and I knew exactly where 8 foot was to start digging.
Good thinking.
The next post. So that's kind of how I measured those.
So you had a 2x4 that you were pretty sure was 8 feet long, and so you
knew for sure it was 8 foot, and just
got some posts in the ground. You've gone along. Of course, if you just decide I'm going to fence the backyard, you're going to need some sighted help to set the corner post. There's no question about that.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
You're not going to know. You need to set those in certain places, and you need somebody who's
you need some help. Until you get to putting on the pickets, actually, it's really a two-person. I clamped and did it some myself. Clamped one end of the rail onto the corner, then clamped the other end up, and then had to hold it with clamps to put in that would have been much easier. It's really a two-person job.
But once you get the corner post set, I guess we could take this up next week since we're out of time. Why don't we do that and talk about the little clamp that you invented?
Yeah,
and we might want to give a little price per foot versus these outlaws that these fence companies want to charge.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, you're outlaws. We'll
pick
this will be a nice little subject for next week.
Talk about this chain link fencing. We can talk a little bit about that next
maybe
week.
Maybe we can learn something about it between now and the next show. What do you think, guys?
Good possibility.
Got to beat it over to the library now.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. Well, show number 20 is coming to an end, friend. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Anyway, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll email us. We aren't getting enough email. And as I said, we're going to have to do something about that. What's that email address, John Jones?
That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Email us. We really love to hear from you. We like to have guests on the show. And so let's hear from you. Thank you, Don Patterson. And
you're on my pleasure.
Grouting. And Don Shaw.
Yeah.
We appreciate your help, and we'll see you.
Building.
See you next week. Tom Houston, of course, our board engineer. If a blind man shoots a nail gun, is that called a shot in the dark? Thank you so much. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.